Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wisconsin EMS Live. This program is recorded.
Welcome to Wisconsin EMS Live. Today is Tuesday, October 13, 2015. This is Joe Cavelli with the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. We are coming to you live today, but each show is recorded, so you can always listen to past shows on demand in the archive from the PAW website. The website is paaw.us. I'm pleased to be joined this morning by Patrick Ryan. Patrick, how are you doing today?
Good morning, Joe. Glad to be here.
Terrific to have you with us, Patrick. And I know that there's been a lot of activity as of recent regarding community paramedicine, and you're leading a great effort there with the involvement of many others. And you're hosting a regular conference call, which anybody's welcome to participate on. Do you mind offering a quick update on CP?
Sure. I, along with representatives from PFFW and WEMSA, as well as the Fire Chiefs Association, had some really significant meetings. We got a lot of good feedback with legislators. We also met last week with the Nurses Association, had some very good dialogue. Based on the feedback that we received, we have made some adjustments to the bill that we will be introducing soon. The primary two changes that we've made, one, we will drop the portion of the bill that would require DHS to review and establish a reimbursement mechanism within the first year. It became pretty clear in talking with legislators that anything with a fiscal note attached to it would be opposed by the department. So we really came down to the choice, you could say, is, you know, do we want to have a bill or do we not? It really seemed, the feedback really, really showed strongly that DHS was not interested. While they do support the concept of community paramedic, they were not interested in adding that to their budget. So with that being said, I think, you know, it's going to be up to us, which, to be honest, on my personal opinion, I kind of thought we didn't need that to begin with anyway, because I think for us to be able to show that this is a viable alternative or a viable tool, we'll need to be able to establish these relationships with hospitals and health insurance providers to show that this can work. And I think that will then lead to gathering more data, showing the success, and then leading to reimbursement at the Medicaid level. So while it's a change, I don't think it's a necessarily a negative one. It's going to be a little different path, but I think it's going to much greater, it's going to raise the chances quite a bit that we're actually going to be able to get this passed and into law. The second change, which I think is not really so new anymore, was the dropping the portion that the EMS system had to employ the community paramedics. Rural hospitals really have expressed the interest in having community paramedics employed by them, especially in light of the fact there are not a lot of resources around them as it is. So we felt that was another reasonable change to make to the bill. So that being said, we're ready to go forward. We had multiple people in the legislature express interest in being the lead on the bill. So we'll get that sorted out and get that introduced here hopefully in the next couple of weeks or so.
That's great news, Patrick. Congratulations on the work you and many others are doing. And to our friends in Minnesota, too, for offering a great model for Wisconsin to look at and see how it's been developing over there, and to ask for their input and guidance in this process as well here in Wisconsin. So congratulations, Patrick, and thank you for the update.
You're welcome, Joe.
Welcome to Wisconsin EMS Live. We have several guests this morning, and let me give you a snapshot of today's program. First, we're going to start with a really new innovative CPAP device manufactured by Palmadyne. Palmadyne is in Indianapolis, Indiana, and we have a couple of their representatives on with us this morning. Then at 9:20, we'll cover improved treatments and outcomes with CHF patients at LifeStar EMS in West Bend. We'll chat with Tyler Cristofoli. They're using a high-dose nitroglycerin regimen that's offering some success with CHF. And then to wrap up the program, we'll chat with Dan Williams. Dan, of course, is the Paramedic Systems of Wisconsin Conference. There's a lot of good things that came out of the event, several hot topics, and several things on EMS managers' minds. We'll find out some of the highlights from Dan a little later in the program. Our first topic, again, we'll be discussing a new CPAP device by Palmadyne. And we'll cover that conversation after this brief message. You're listening to Wisconsin EMS Live.
Boundtree Medical helps America's EMS and fire departments save lives by providing a full array of medical equipment and supplies. You can, of course, get national brands from Boundtree, but did you know that Boundtree's private label products can save you up to 20% off the price of name brand? Another way to save is when you need to update your AEDs, defibrillators, monitors, and pumps. Boundtree's recertified equipment offering provides you solutions at a fraction of the new price. You can also save with Boundtree's smart kitting solutions. Order custom pre-assembled kits at a cost-effective price and ensure you have the products you need on scene. With a full line of pharmaceuticals, supplies, and equipment, Boundtree can help you save lives and meet your budget. Visit www.boundtree.com today to see how Boundtree can lend a hand. EMS Medical Billing Associates provides complete fire and EMS billing for service calls, alarms, and data management. EMS Medical Billing Associates, experienced, professional, accurate. Find them on the web at emsmedicalbilling.com.
Wisconsin EMS Live is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin. To speak with the co-hosts during the live show, dial 646-929-1081 or email the Wisconsin EMS Live at paaw.us. Thank you for listening to Wisconsin EMS Live. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Wisconsin EMS Live. This is Joe Cavelli, joined by Patrick Ryan this morning. I'm pleased to bring into the conversation Kent Elsemi. Kent is with Palmadyne in Indianapolis. They manufacture a CPAP device. Kent, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. I recently had the experience to meet your representative for Wisconsin, Richard Hollingworth, and Richard took some time with myself and many others at the Paramedic Systems of Wisconsin conference on the CPAP device that you all manufacture. Quite frankly, I was very impressed with it. And we do have some photos posted of the CPAP device on the PAW homepage at paaw.us. If you want to take a look at those, just click any of the images to enlarge it, or the images are also posted at Blog Talk Radio with this webcast. Kent, can you describe the CPAP device to us and why it's being received so favorably?
Oh, absolutely. It'd be my pleasure. Our CPAP's really not new to the market. We've been making a disposable CPAP since about 2009. We've just enhanced it as the years have gone by. And about 5 months ago, 6 months ago, we came out with the O2 Max with the integrated nebulizer. Some of the things that set our CPAP apart from some others is we use the high-pressure port. We do not use the Christmas tree to flow our CPAP. And the reason why is using the high-pressure port, the disc port, 50 PSI port, whatever we want to call it, we're getting a unrestricted flow off the tank. And that flow is not predicated on the pressure in the tank. We can have 2,200 pounds in the tank, or we can have about 300 pounds in the tank, and we're going to get the same type of flow. So we flow it off that, the same as all the ventilators in the hospital and everything use that same system. What we do when we connect it to the oxygen tank, we pull about 15 liters off the tank, and then we entrain about 125 liters through our generator. And the generator is a closed system. It has a 99.9999 bacterial and viral filter on it, so we're also filtering the air that's being delivered to the patient. So we create a flow, a free flow, regardless on what the patient's respiratory rate is or tidal volume, of 140 liters at a fixed FiO2 of 30%, which is delivered to the patient. We make many types of either fixed PEEP or adjustable PEEPs. Probably the most common is the three-set PEEP, which starts at 5, and by turning it, you can go from 5 to 7.5 or 10. And again, that does not affect the flow, and it's very, very easy to use. The mask itself is a hospital-grade mask, meaning literally it can go from bedside of the patient all the way up to the ICU. This particular mask, we sell hundreds of thousands of these worldwide, both in the pre-hospital and the acute care setting. It's a very comfortable mask. It doesn't take a lot of pressure to get a good seal. And more importantly, if you're using in-tidal capnol lines, it will accommodate that cannula very, very well and provide you, again, with a great seal. One of the things that I observed as the national sales manager when we were delivering CPAP, we're nebulizing about 60 to 70% of the patients. And when we decide to nebulize, we've usually started the therapy. So in past, what we've had to do is turn off the oxygen, put our T-tube in line, put the canister in line, or fill a canister with albuterol, hook it to the oxygen, and then turn everything back on. All the while, we're desatting the patient. Our T-tube is unique from the standpoint it has a check valve in it, so it's a closed system. You don't need to worry about that. But what's very, very important about what we did is we took that port and we incorporated it into the circuit itself. So regardless if you are delivering therapy and decide to nebulize, all you need to do is take your canister, put your medication in it, hook it up to the oxygen, insert it into the neb port, and you're delivering a therapy or your albuterol treatment, which is very, very unique in this industry. You're not having to turn off the oxygen. The neb canister is enclosed in the bag, so everything is right there. The canister is a needleless port, so if you need to give an additional treatment, simply take your albuterol pillow and stick it right through the port in the canister, and you can give a second medication without stopping the therapy. It's really taken off, and we're doing quite well with it at this time.
That was the thing that impressed me the most, Kent, was the ease of access with the port to give the nebulizer or any kind of aerosol-type treatment. Very, very impressive, very convenient. Doesn't have to be uncomfortable for the patient. You don't have to move the mask. It was very easy to operate. What are customers telling you about the product?
The customers are telling us that they really, really like it. And it's very convenient. It's easy to use. They like it because everything is in one bag. If you decide to nebulize, you've got the canister right there, and you're ready to go. You don't have to go back into the drug box or back into the ambulance to get your neb kit to rip it open. Everything is enclosed right there. So it's convenient for the medics. It's effective therapy for the patient.
I know in talking with Richard, too, at PSOW and here just before we started the broadcast, he mentioned there's several users of your product throughout Wisconsin. I know that he's had quite a favorable reception to the product and to getting some samples out there. I guess that would lead someone to trying it. So to get on that point is, how would somebody secure some samples so they could give this a try in the field?
Sure, no problem. We're the manufacturer, and Boundtree is our exclusive dealer of this product. Andrea Turner, who is the Boundtree account manager who lives in Madison, certainly can arrange that, and we'll be more than happy to send samples to any department that's interested in looking at it. Andrea is extremely versed in this product and is just a great person to talk to regarding it. Her cell phone number is 608-381-8172, and we are not afraid to sample anybody and send samples out, and both Richard and I and Andrea are available if there's any questions that come up because of it.
Okay, very good. Very good. Thank you very much for offering that information, Kent.
No
Patrick,
problem.
Did you have any questions for Kent regarding this product? Or
I guess maybe just one. Maybe just give us a couple of bullet points specifically of how this is maybe different than other products. I didn't get a chance to see it. I saw some of the things on our website but didn't see it in person. But are there any couple of highlights that you could say these couple of variables make it really a different product?
Well, I think the first, as I explained, we run off the 50 PSI port or the high pressure port. Most of the disposable on the market are running off the Christmas tree. And again, the reason why we don't do that is because when you use the Christmas tree or the barb, whatever you want to call it, that's restricted flow. But more importantly, that flow is predicated on the pressure in the tank. So as you're losing you're losing the flow because of the pressure goes down, you're losing the flow. So you continually have to monitor that and adjust the flow to maintain adequate pressures. That's the advantage of using the high pressure port. There is no fluctuation in that flow, and it is independent of the pressure in the tank. It is probably one of the biggest bullet points of this system. This is a closed system. Like I said, this has a 99% bacterial and viral filter on it, so you're going to filter out a lot of bacteria and viruses that most other disposable CPAPs will just push it right down into the patient's lungs. So that's a big bullet point. One of the biggest bullet points, this is all made in the United States. This is all made in Indianapolis. I think that's a very, very big point. With the other big bullet point is the NEB, is the integrated nebulizer. No more do we have to stop the oxygen flow. If we decide to NEB, we simply take the canister, which is enclosed in the circuit, put our medication in it, and start the nebulization process. So those are some of the big bullet points.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kent. Thank you, Patrick. Seems very, very straightforward. If there's a question with our listening audience, feel free to press number one on your keypad, and we'd be happy to bring you into the conversation. Number one on your keypad at any time, and we'll happy to bring you into the conversation. Kent, before we wrap up with our conversation, is there anything that maybe we haven't covered yet that you'd like to make sure we talk about?
Well, I think we've covered most of the points, but I'm a big proponent, and I think where CPAP needs to be started at bedside. So many times we get to the patient and either have to go back to the ambulance or we don't start it till we get into the back of the truck. And CPAP to me is no different than defibrillating a patient in the home. I mean, these patients are critical, and we know that CPAP turns them around or potentially can turn them around very quickly. So starting at bedside is, I believe, one of the most important things. And with this device, the small footprint, it fits very easy into an airway bag and should be started there.
Very good. Thank you for your time this morning, Kent. We appreciate it very much. Kent is with Palmadyne, Kent Elsemi. Kent, thank you very much. Appreciate this. Appreciate your time and information and being on the broadcast this morning.
My pleasure. And one other thing, if anybody has any questions, we have a great website, www.palmadyne.com, that will help have all kinds of information on that, from training videos to literature to contact information.
Very, very good. And we'd encourage our listeners to take a look at this great and very easy technology. Kent, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Have a good day, sir.
Thank you.
Well, our theme really today for Wisconsin EMS Live, at least for the first part of the broadcast, is congestive heart failure, because our next conversation, we're going to move over and chat with Tyler Cristofoli. Tyler is the assistant training coordinator with LifeStar EMS. And just a few comments before we bring Tyler into the conversation. We'll take a break also. For years, we've known that nitroglycerin is the first-line agent in the treatment of congested heart failure patients. LifeStar EMS in West Bend has redesigned the way they treat these patients by completely voiding Lasix administration and implementing a high-dose nitro drip regimen. And I'm real excited to learn more about this. Tyler contacted us and said, hey, we're doing some pretty innovative things in West Bend. We'd like to share it with your listening audience, which we really much appreciate. So our conversation will pick up on CHF again. We'll continue our conversation, I should say, with CHF and bring Tyler into the conversation here on Wisconsin EMS Live after these brief messages.
Hi, this is Joe Cavelli. For nearly 10 years, I used a LADTech scheduling tool for my EMT shifts. Having had this personal experience, I'd like to share how easy it was to submit my work availability to management and be assigned shifts. It was also easy to pick up open shifts or trade with others. I could even view my work schedule for the month, week, or day and know who else I was working with well ahead of that first 911 call. Best of all, I could access my schedule and all the great features offered by LADTech right on my smartphone, tablet, or computer. Are you using the grease board or paper handouts yet for your work schedules? If so, that is a thing of the past. You'll discover, too, that LADTech is more than just a scheduling tool. It offers many other great features as well. To learn more about LADTech's features or to sign up for a free trial version, visit LADTech.com. That's LADTEC.com. Online employee scheduling and workforce management is much easier, faster, and better with LADTech.
Welcome to Wisconsin EMS Live. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Wisconsin EMS Live. This is Joe Covelli, joined by Patrick Ryan and Dan Williams. Dan, I've got you on the line here, so feel free to jump in anytime that you'd like. We'll be chatting with Dan after our next conversation with Tyler. Dan's going to offer some highlights from the recent Paramedic Systems of Wisconsin conference. Let me bring Tyler Cristofoli into the conversation. Tyler is the assistant training director, also a recent 2015 Wisconsin Star of Life honoree. And a couple of the things that Tyler wrote to me, with congestive heart failure being one of the most common reasons for readmittance into the hospital, it's no doubt we see CHF frequently on ambulance calls. LifeStar EMS in West Bend has redesigned the way they treat these patients by completely voiding Lasix administration and implementing a high-dose nitro drip regimen. Their studies have shown to increase the amount of patients needing intubation for CHF almost 100% by using this routine. Show to decrease the amount of patients needing intubation for CHF almost 100% by using this routine. With their medical director's backing, they have been able to implement treatment with huge, huge success. I do want to make one point here that with this, it is outside of the standard of care. So as a disclaimer, if you're looking to implement anything like this, it would be very advisable to get the approval of your local medical director. Tyler, welcome to the program. Thank you very much for sharing this with us.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you with us. And I know in my introductory comments, those were the comments that you wrote me in saying that you'd like to share this high-dose nitro regimen with our listening audience. Please go ahead and share. What are you doing at West Bend and some of the things you're realizing?
Yeah, Joe. So, you know, at LifeStar recently, what we've been doing is these video critiques. So what we do is we video ourselves doing certain calls, like a chest pain call, and this is all in a simulated setting. And then me and some of the training staff and our field educators, we sit back, we watch these videos, and we go, what are some ways that we can become more efficient and better prepare ourselves to run these calls? And with CHF being one of our higher population of calls, we thought that would be a great place to start off. So we looked, and this year so far we've run approximately 466 CHF calls. So that's just a little over one a day. And so what we did is we sat down and said, how can we make our treatment for CHF the best it could be? And because we weren't seeing big turnarounds, you know, we'd get on scene and we'd see somebody with, a blood pressure at 220 over 140, their lungs are full of fluid, and here we spray, give them a spray nitro and put the CPAP on, and we still just weren't seeing these big turnarounds. So we wanted to implement, it's kind of the ICU care, and it's not something new, actually. They've been doing this for a long time with the high-dose nitro, but it takes a little while for some of these things to catch up with the pre-hospital setting. So what we did is we developed an algorithm, and what this algorithm does is it addresses three different types of CHF presentations. So you have your hypotensive CHF, you have your hypertensive CHF, and then you have your normotensive CHF. And so for the sake of our conversation today, we're going to talk about the hypertensive CHF patient. And some practitioners, Scott Weingart from the MCRIT podcast, calls this the SCAPE patient, the sympathetic crashing acute pulmonary edema. And basically what happens is these patients get some fluid in their lungs and they can't breathe and they start panicking, and you get these endogenous amounts of norhormones and catecholamines, that norepinephrine, that increase the systemic vascular resistance so much that our left ventricle can't even eject or pump blood against it. So when I'm trying to describe this and explain this to my trainees, what I say is, imagine you're inside a house and there's a hurricane outside. and you're trying to walk out your door, and every time you walk out, you're just getting blown back in because there's so much resistance outside. So on top of all that, let's say you got a broken leg, because we know we're not dealing with a normal heart in this situation. Most CHF patients, whether it's a valvular dysfunction or it's a weakened left ventricle from an old MI, they're dealing with an ill ventricle that's not able to eject like it normally would. So now imagine yourself with a broken leg trying to walk outside in the middle of a hurricane, and you just keep getting blown back. So the only way to make that easier, we can't fix that broken leg, we can't fix that already infarcted ventricle. So the best way to do this is to try to calm that storm outside. So the first thing we do is, as we say, we throw our Lasix in the garbage, because we're not going to use Lasix for this. Lasix is kind of like honking your horn in traffic. It feels like you're doing something, but you're really just making the situation worse. So what we looked at is doing a aggressive arterial vasodilation. And the normal dosing for nitro, our spray that we give, you know, we give the 400 micrograms sublingually, and then we put the CPAP mask on them. And when we do that, every time we have to take that mask off to spray more nitro, we're de-recruiting all of those alveoli that we had already recruited by using CPAP. So what we use is we use nitroglycerin, and we started off at 400 micrograms a minute for 2 minutes. So with our standard concentration of 200 mics per ml, this is about 120 mLs an hour. And so we carry pumps on our ambulance, and we use these pumps. We set it up for 400 mics a minute for 2 minutes, and after that 2 minutes, then we're going to crank it down to 80 mics a minute for the remainder of the transport with close monitoring on the blood pressure. Now, with these types of doses of nitro, you do need to be right there beside them and monitoring their blood pressure and watching out for it. But these doses are actually mild compared to some of the other studies that they were doing with 1 to 2 milligrams of nitro every 3 to 5 minutes. So if we look at this, if we take it down to 80 mics a minute for the remainder of the transport, that's 400 micrograms every 5 minutes, which is exactly what we would be giving sublingually. And so by doing this, we started doing some studies just within LifeStar. And what we did is we did an ABC dyspnea study. And when we got on scene, we asked the patients, can you say your ABCs? And we wanted to see how far they could get in the alphabet before they became short of breath. And, you know, most patients were ABC. You know, they could barely get to C without becoming severely dyspneic. And so what we did is then we implemented this high-dose nitro. And within 5 to 10 minutes, we had patients saying the complete alphabet without any issues. And we transported one patient to St. Mary's Ozaki just recently, and the doctor said he had never seen a turnaround from a CHF patient so fast. And so it was just huge success, you know. And we're, as we progress through EMS and we see things like, you know, going away from the non-rebreathers and re-looking at how we do spinal immobilization, I think that this is just another thing that we look at and say, you know, why haven't we been doing this for the past, you know, years within this care? So I know I talked to several people at the Stars of Life and at the PSOW, and we were kind of discussing this. And I think the biggest issue I saw was a lot of people don't carry pumps pre-hospital. And so they said, you know, how would we do this without a pump? And actually, there's some great literature in JAMA and in the Annals of Emergency Medicine that discuss actually just doing push-dose boluses of nitro and just pushing that over about 1 to 2 minutes. So it's, we're having huge success with it, and I just thought that, you know, we should share this and see if anybody has any other questions about this.
Well, I think that is a great introduction to what you're doing, the great work that you're doing at LifeStar EMS in West Bend. Thank you for the introduction on this, Tyler. Let's open that up, too. If there is anybody listening to, those listening to the broadcast this morning, if you'd like to be brought into the program, just press #1 on your keypad. If you're in front of a computer and would rather send an email, our email address is wisconsinemslive@paw.us. That's wisconsinemslive@paw.us, and Patrick is monitoring our email inbox for us this morning. Tyler, what other scenarios do you have with this? Are there specific clinical parameters that you look at before you implement this regimen, or is it the straightforward CHF patient?
Yeah, so, you know, Joe, for this one, we're looking at acute pulmonary edema. So whatever the cause of that acute pulmonary edema being, you know, whether it is from a aortic stenosis or something like an old infarct, either way, anytime we have increased amounts of fluid within the lungs, you know, we got to get that out. And so the, you know, the thought process for a while was that these patients were severely overhydrated and that we needed to give them Lasix and get this fluid off them as soon as possible. And what we're finding is that's just not the case. These patients are actually either euvolemic or dehydrated because all the fluid is not in their vessels. It's all third spacing. It's all in their ankles or it's in their lungs. And so when this happens, your kidneys aren't getting perfused. And so they release renin, and that renin turns to angiotensin 1, and we know the whole ROS system. And eventually what that turns into is aldosterone, which really cranks up the systemic vascular resistance. And so that's why we're seeing things like catapril and some ACE inhibitors that are being used to try to stop this this aldosterone from increasing the systemic vascular resistance. Now, what happens is, let's say we come along and, you know, we give them Lasix. First of all, the Lasix is going to cause them to become even more dehydrated, and we're actually just taking a huge step backward. So we don't use Lasix. I mean, the only reason I see to use Lasix is stuff like, you know, in your SIADH syndromes and your people that are severely overhydrated, but pre-hospital, we can't really tell that. And so that's best to leave up to the hospital to decide because, you know, sometimes it can be very hard to distinguish between pneumonia or CHF if the patient doesn't have a fever, and even some CHF patients can present with a fever. So if you were to give somebody like with pneumonia, Lasix, you could actually do a lot of harm with that. So with these high-dose nitro, you know, with the lower dose nitro, you really get more of a venous dilation, which is good, and it helps with, like, the preload. But to get a significant decrease in pulmonary capillary wedge pressure, you need to be using dosages of nitro over 120 mics a minute to get that significant relief in the pulmonary circulation. And so looking at that, you know, we said, you know, starting these nitro drips at 5 to 10 mics a minute is not doing anything. You're throwing, you know, rocks on a puddle. It's not doing anything to help the patient out.
Very, very good. Thanks for the detailed explanation, too, on that, Tyler. Patrick or Dan, any questions for Tyler regarding their use of high-dose nitro for CHF?
Hi, this is Dan. Thanks for the information, Tyler. I just was wondering if maybe you could supply some of that to Joe so that it could be even posted on the PLA website, because I'm guessing initially, from a medical director standpoint, there's going to be some pushback from some medical directors, and I don't know if you experienced that at all, Tyler, but at least the more ammunition we have to go in to talk to medical directors, the better off we all are.
No, yeah, I agree, Dan. And you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to provide Joe with all of the studies that I have. I'm going to provide them with the articles, and then I'll give you my email address, and I'll also give you my medical director's email address. Initially, I'm not going to lie, our medical director was a little hesitant because, honestly, they're probably not even doing this in the ER yet. So these doses make nurses nervous. They make doctors nervous because they're not used to it. But actually, when you look at it and you look at the doses that they give in the ICU or where they receive, you know, definitive treatment, these doses are weak compared to what they're actually giving. And so, you know, we're trying to bring that ICU care to the pre-hospital field so we can actually start thinking definitively for treating these patients. So, you know, initially we did get a little bit of a pushback. Our medical director wanted to see the literature supporting it. But if you type in SCAPE patients on Google or type in high-dose nitro, I mean, there's enough literature to keep you up all night reading. So it's definitely there. The proof is there. The studies are there, and the results are there. It's just getting it to get caught up with pre-hospital medicine. And so I'd really like to see the studies and see how other people are reacting when they're trying this as well.
Yeah, that sounds really good because, like you say, you always need that ammo when you go in and talk, and I'd be surprised if you hadn't gotten some pushback from your medical director. But sounds like it's pretty great stuff, and this is what we need to do to change EMS as much as we can to make it better for the patients.
No, I agree, and you know, constantly reevaluating how we do things is how we get better. You know, they say the worst saying is, "Well, we've always done it that way," and I think that, you know, I think lately in EMS, we're just seeing huge changes in the way we do things, and we're actually seeing, instead of technicians, we're seeing clinicians. And, you know, that's what we try to breed at LifeStar, and our guys have been phenomenal with this. They, you know, they ask lots of questions, which is good. You know, I expect any time we're going to put a new throw a game changer out there in how we treat patients, you know, you expect a lot of questions. And, you know, I always tell people, don't take my word for it. You know, prove it to yourself. Prove to yourself that this works, because that's going to be your best ammunition when you're out there in the field and you're trying this care.
Very good, Tyler. Thank you very much. We appreciate your information. Any information you do share with us, we'd be happy to post on the PAW website. We'll make sure it lines up with this webcast so people have a resource to it. And we appreciate your information very much. Congratulations on what you are doing. And also congratulations on being named a recent 2015 Wisconsin Star of Life honoree. The presentation to Tyler and 24 other individuals named as Wisconsin Stars of Life honorees was presented or bestowed on them last month in Green Bay as a part of the Paramedic Systems of Wisconsin Conference, and also an event at Lambeau Field at where the Green Bay Packers call home. Tyler, share with us, what was your experience like with the event?
No, Joe, it was phenomenal. You know, we got there when we came to the Timber Lodge? I can't remember the name of it, but the Tundra. And, I mean, the ambulances all parked outside, and everybody was in, you know, excellent, great moods. You know, we walked in, and the pinning ceremony at Lambeau was just phenomenal, hearing from Pepper and some of the people there. And, you know, just all around, it was nice meeting these people that continuously show what it truly means to be a clinician and be an EMS. And I thought the lineup was just spectacular. Everybody did a phenomenal job. I know you did a lot of the stuff, and your team, and you guys did a great job. Every single aspect of it was planned out, right down to the dinner and the conference. And so it was just a great experience all around.
Oh, great. Thank you very much for sharing that, Tyler. And congratulations also on being named a Wisconsin Star of Life honoree. It's nice to be bestowed with that recognition for the work that you are doing. And it's very evident you're passionate about it through our conversation this morning on high-dose nitroglycerin.
Yeah, Joe, and you know, we also, we're going to be discussing this. Mercy Hospital showed some interest down in Janesville about some of the stuff we're doing. So we're going to be hosting a kind of a 12-lead EKG cardiac boot camp down at Janesville at Mercy Hospital on November 16th from 4 to 6. And this is a free class. It should be good for 3 hours of CEUs. So if anybody's interested in that, I'll also give you Laura Kingsbury's email address, but they're more than welcome to come join us. We got about 150 seats available. So if anybody's interested in that, definitely look into it.
Yeah, why don't you send me that information? We'll be happy to put that on the PAW calendar events items, and people will have that contact information through there when they look at the events calendar.
Definitely, we'll do.
Okay. Tyler Cristofoli, thank you very much for sharing your information this morning, and we look forward to your follow-up, and we'll post any information you provide with the webcast.
Sounds good. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Have a good day, Tyler. All right.
Too.
Well, we'll keep the broadcast moving. I'd like to, after our next break, we're going to be chatting with Dan Williams regarding the follow-up to the Paramedic Systems of Wisconsin Conference. Always great information at that event. A lot of hot topics come out of that event. We get an idea of what EMS managers are thinking about. And following our next break, Dan is going to update us on some of the highlights from the conference. You're listening to Wisconsin EMS Live. Our program continues after these brief messages.
Godfrey & Kahn, a Wisconsin-based law firm, combines specific experience in numerous practice areas to provide a wide range of legal and business counseling services. The law firm is known for its core business practice and litigation, as well as providing strategic legal advice to the healthcare industry and employers. Their clients range from individuals and small businesses to government entities and large private and public national and international companies. Have a legal question? Contact attorney Thomas Shorter at Godfrey & Kahn, 877-455-2900, or find them on the web at www.gklaw.com.
Having trouble collecting on past due accounts, or your aging report continues to increase? Contact Transworld Systems and ask about their easy flat fee collection service that averages just $10 per past due account. With better than average industry collection results, Transworld presents an option versus writing off that $500 or $2,000 patient bill. For more information, go to PAW's homepage and click on Transworld's banner ad. Collections just got easier with Transworld system.
Don't miss a beat of Wisconsin EMS action. Listen to Wisconsin EMS Live or any previous episode on demand in the archive. And now, back to the program.
Welcome back to Wisconsin EMS Live. This is Joe Covelli, joined by Patrick Ryan and Dan Williams. Dan, another successful PSOW conference, if I'm not mistaken. It was the 28th annual. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Joe. It's fun doing the conference. Like you say, 28 years. I don't know if that's if that should be considered an accomplishment or something else. But it's been fun doing it all those years, and hopefully we'll get a couple years out. Now my goal is to hit the 30 mark before I disappear. But so we got two more years in it. But getting to the conference itself, every year everybody says, "Well, that's the best one ever." And this year I think we heard that a lot again. We had some very timely topics. You know, we had a presentation from Tom Shorter, who is a friend of PAW, about fraud and Medicare compliance, and you know, that couldn't be a bigger issue now than, you know, with everything that's going on a national basis. It's very, very clear that Medicare is out looking for people who are not complying and are fraudulently filing claims. So, I think that was an eye opener for a lot of the folks. You know, we had a very good discussion with Buck McAlpin on the community paramedic, and then after that we had a general conference, you know, open house, if you will, as far as conversation goes on that topic. And you know, I think one of the things that we realized on community paramedic is it's a wonderful, wonderful thing, and we just have to make sure that we're doing it right. And I think we've got a lot of the right people in place to make sure that that happens. And then, of course, the banquet with the presentation of the stars, that's always a very special time. It was really nice to see the number that we had this year of stars, and that all of the groups that are starting to finally recognize their folks. It's really now truly across all of EMS and fire EMS, and that's a good thing. And then we followed up, you know, on the main topics of our presentations with Kathy Federico from the DEA on controlled substances, and there certainly has been some folks who have had that issue that they've had to deal with. And, you know, like we said, it's not a matter of if it's going to happen, it's really when is it going to happen. So I think all in all, a very successful conference. Numbers were up this year, and it's always an enjoying time doing it.
I know, Dan, when you start the conference on that Wednesday, it's a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday conference, but the Wednesday really is dedicated to what's on EMS managers' minds. You know, what are they working on? What are some of the projects they're pursuing right now? And it's a nice way to just kind of compare notes with what others are doing. What were some of the hot topics that came out of what is on people's minds right now?
Well, you know, everybody has kind of the same issues with budgets and those kind of mundane type things, but people are struggling with the community paramedic thing. How do they get involved? Do they jump in with both feet, or they just put one toe in the pond to see, you know, where the ripples go? And but you hit it right on the head, Joe, with the fact that has become maybe one of the most important part of the conference now. Everybody says you can do anything you want with the conference, but don't change that. Because it's really an opportunity for each individual service that's there represented to stand up and talk about what they're doing. If they're thinking about buying equipment, what is it that they're buying and why? And it sets up an unbelievable opportunity for networking for the entire rest of the conference. And everybody just absolutely loves that, because you know, if you stand up and say, "Well, I'm having a problem with this," you know, maybe somebody else had that same problem a year ago, and they can help you through the process. So we have found that may be one of the most valuable pieces of the whole conference.
Some of the things, too, Dan, that I wrote down that were hot topics that seemed to be brought up, you know, during the open discussion or maybe part of some of the presentations, but a few of them that I wrote down was the single medic rapid sequence innovation. What were some thoughts around that? Seemed to be a lot of energy directed at that particular topic.
Well, certainly the single medic, and I think probably more specifically the legislation that's out there now to reduce the number of staff on an ambulance at the basic level to one EMT and one EMR. A lot of very strong opinions about that, and not so much that everybody doesn't recognize that there are issues and that's a way to provide some coverage. It's just that the big concern is that we're not looking at the big picture. It's a symptom of a huge problem, and not only a problem in Wisconsin, but it's a problem nationally, and that's staff shortages in EMS. We have not had it in Wisconsin as much as they've had it in other areas of the country, but trust me, it's going to filter its way down. And to not address that problem and say, you know, this is a big issue, and we can't just put a Band-Aid on something and pretend that, like, we've solved the problem and the rest of the body is bleeding out. It just isn't a good way to do it. So I think people understand and will be supportive of it because it does help some services, but somehow, some way, we have to have the bigger conversation about what's really going on.
Right. What were some other items, Dan, that came out in the conversations that you had there during the meeting?
Well, you know, the RSI, which I think now most people would prefer to have it called RSA. It doesn't really matter about what device you're using or how you are putting a tube in the trachea, are you putting it in the esophagus, or if somebody finds another place to go with it, I guess that'll be looked at some point in time. But it's just making sure that you get an airway. And if you're doing that with medications, making sure that you have the right medications, and not being afraid to try cutting edge type things. And I think, you know, Tyler said earlier that, you know, if we're not looking for better for ways to improve, we're really not doing our jobs. And, you know, EMS for a very long time had no research essentially going on with it. So we just did things because somebody thought it was a good idea, or because, you know, like your mom, you ask them, why should I do this? And it was because I said so. That's kind of the basis that we worked under for lots of years without any real medical science behind some of the things. And now finally we're having a lot of research being done in EMS, and I think it's an exciting time.
Yes, I would agree with you. And there was a lot of energy with the conversation, too, at PSOW. That was quite evident, which there typically is. And I just always enjoy the collaboration and the just the way the presentations are handled and the way the topics come out. It's amazing. A lot of people are thinking the same thing, so it's a nice way to compare notes with others across the state.
Right. You know, we've always tried to make sure that the conference was very low-key, casual, which also, I think, you know, lends itself to being having people just kind of speak what's on their mind. And I think that the group has developed a real trust over time. You hear things talked about out loud during some of these sessions that most people wouldn't talk out loud about in other circumstances. But I think because it is a problem-solving process, it's a trust your friends and neighbors. And and again, if you have a problem, I can guarantee somebody else has had it or they're about ready to have it. And if we can collaboratively work on trying to figure out how to solve that problem, I think it just benefits all of us.
Agreed on that, Dan. Anything else with POSOW?
No, there's still room for more people. There's still a lot of services and systems, paramedic systems that really have not attended. I just wish that those people would reach out and talk to people who have attended, because I just think they're missing a tremendous opportunity to learn from peers and to just kind of stay in tune and develop some good networking processes and mentors and really figure out ways that, you know, call somebody up because you met them at the conference and now you feel comfortable talking to them. So we still can put more in the room, and we'd be happy to accommodate a bigger crowd, but I think it's a conference that's getting to the point where it's a must-do.
Right, absolutely, Dan. And I know you have the dates for 2016. Do you mind sharing those with everybody? We might as well, as long as we're talking about the next conference, we might as well put the dates out there.
Sure, if I can remember what they are. Let me look here.
Okay, you go ahead.
14th, 15th, and 16th of September. 2016.
Okay, and that's in Green Bay at Tundra Lodge again,
Tundra
correct?
Lodge. Yep,
okay,
Tundra
very
Lodge.
Nice hosting site.
Very nice place. It's a perfect environment for our conference because, again, it fits our whole agenda, really, which is laid back and casual, and they do a great job feeding us and taking care of us. And so, again, it's next year, September 14th, 15th, and 16th, and hope to see you there.
All right. Terrific, Dan. Thank you very much for the update and sharing the information with us, and congratulations on another successful PSOW conference. Well, we're at the point really to wrap things up. Patrick or Dan, is there anything that you'd like to bring up as we close out today's broadcast?
No, nothing for me other than just thanking Dan and a great synopsis of the conference. And we really value our partnership and your graciousness to allow us to be a part of that. And look forward to that next year. And just it's a great, great partnership. And I think it's made PAW better to be associated with PSOW.
And I would agree, Patrick. We really enjoy the relationship, and I'm really glad that several years ago we recognized that, you know, by ourselves we're not going to do as much as if we were together. And with travel budgets the way they are, and if you can get all those things done at one conference, it just made a lot of sense. So again, I appreciate the relationship as well.
Yeah, terrific. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Appreciate your comments on that. Appreciate you being on the broadcast this morning. Our next live show is Tuesday, November 10th, starting at 9 a.m. That's the next broadcast. Our name changes to EMS Live in Wisconsin. Again, our next broadcast is Tuesday, November 10th, starting at 9 a.m. Thank you very much for listening to Wisconsin EMS Live. We appreciate your listenership very much. If you'd like to send any comments to us, you can surely do that. We're located at paw.us. This is Joe Cavelli. Have a good day.
Wisconsin EMS Live is produced by the Professional Ambulance Association of Wisconsin, which is dedicated to healthy, sustainable ambulance and emergency medical service delivery in Wisconsin. Program comments can be emailed to Wisconsin EMS Live at paaw.us. Thank you for listening to Wisconsin EMS Live.